Hi, I'm Georgia.
And I'm Amanda.
I have bipolar 1.
And I have depression.
Welcome to
Going Loco,
a podcast where you don't have to go loco alone.
We got you, boo.
Think of us as a companion podcast to your next mental breakdown. Do we think mental health is serious?
Absolutely.
Do we need to be solemn about it?
Absolutely not.
Are we going to be PC about it?
Not a chance.
So all the lunatics, the psychos, the cray-crays, the mentals, the kooky peeps, the nutsos, we see you, we hear you.
We are you.
Are you low? Are you high?
Come as you are.
And we'll be here discussing all things mental health.
Welcome.
Ding, ding, ding. Generic trigger warning. Okay, so we both hate trigger warnings and we swore black and blue that we wouldn't do a trigger warning. So here is our trigger warning. This podcast is about sad things. This podcast is about when you're having a shit one. But mostly this podcast is about having a laugh because Amanda and I never fail to find the laugh. So there's some dark laughs, guys. So to the trigger warning, if you're a person like us who likes to stamp it all down real deep and then you can't read or hear about certain topics for fear it will completely crack you open and you're afraid you'll never stop weeping, if you would rather shit yourself in public than cry, firstly, hello, you're one of our people. Secondly, here comes your warning that today's podcast touches on some rough content around mental health.
Crazy than a pair of shit arthritis, Georgia and Amanda. Head miles, frequent flyers, Amanda and Georgia are going loco. Come with us and go loco too. We're going loco. No need to go loco alone.
Episode 19.
19.
Oh, bingo call.
What is the bingo call?
19. Goodbye teens.
Oh, goodbye teens. Yes. Love it. On the way.
No, because you're still teen at 19.
It's a bit, yeah. It's a bit inaccurate, isn't it?
They're pushing the envelope there.
Yeah.
Georgia, what have you been up to?
Oh, washing dishes, mate.
No dishwasher.
We have moved to the rental, which does not have a dishwasher, and all I do is fucking wash dishes. And you know,
I'm surprised you made it here today.
Mate, I left a pile of dishes and Stu was like rage scrubbing them. I'm like, well, this is the life we chose.
Oh, yeah. Love it. You can have a beautiful new dishwasher and kitchen in and new so place. Much yeah. space to dump dishes.
That's right. Just spread them all out. A bigger space to spread them all out.
I rent a two-lounge room house on my own so I can spread my shit out.
Great. Spread it everywhere.
Yeah. I know who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Messy. I'm just spreading it out a bit more.
Look, I'm just thankful we nearly ended up with no washing machine and no dryer because Stu's like, oh, it doesn't fit. And he's like, don't worry, we'll just run it back to the old place.
Oh, who will run it back?
I'm like, no. We've got five people living in this house, mate. And that's you're going to so run washing back to a different location over my dead body.
No way. Fair enough. That's rude.
But it did in fact fit. It sticks out a bit. I'm like, I don't care if I have to fucking shimmy around it.
100%. As long as it can be in the lounge room. It can be in front of the TV. I don't care.
It's just sitting on top
of it. Be like, that's your chair. Yeah. We don't need a high chair. We've just got the washing machine.
Just got that.
The dryer. It's got a nice little buzz to it. Love it.
So let me tell you what else I went up to.
Go. I'm ready.
I went to the day spa yesterday.
Oh, the day spa.
With some friends. And the girls booked in for a flotation. You know, that's the sensory.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I know. They wanted me to do it. And I said, again, over my dead body.
Is that a sensory deprivation tank?
Yes, it's an enclosed tank. I'm like, I cannot think of anything fucking worse than lying in an enclosed tank.
Alone
with my own thoughts. Amanda, I'd just be like a carp in a bucket of water, like just rolling around.
Trying to roll away from your own thoughts.
Like roll away from my own thoughts. So I did the infrared sauna instead.
What's that?
It's just a sauna that, I don't know.
Why is it infrared?
I don't know why it's infrared. I had to take my jewelry off because apparently that can get real hot and burn you.
Oh, that's some serious shit.
So she took me to the room and she's like, here it is. And look, it is a dark little room and it's very hot. So you know, get
That's
ready.
A theme.
I know, get ready to have a very relaxing time. But if there's any issues, there's a panic button right here. Why am I paying for something
that has a panic
button? That has a panic button that's supposed to be relaxing? I'm like, oh, great. Okay, thanks.
Oh, my God. It's just you alone in this dark room with your own thoughts eyeing the panic button off. Sounds like a beautiful spa dream. I will relax.
Relax. At least I wasn't in the fucking flotation pod. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, did they do the flotation
pod? Yeah, the girls.
Did they love it?
They loved it. I said, well, not for me. Not for me.
Oh, I'd flip lids so hard at that.
No, I wasn't about it.
Yeah.
I got another story for you.
Okay.
I want to put a submission forward, formal submission, that I am not the worst babysitter in the world.
Okay.
You want to know why?
Why?
So, and this is about Jules. I don't know if you remember in the last episode where there was a bit of a scenario where my nephew came across the book, Where Did I Come From? And learned all about sex. At my place. I'm really sorry about that. He didn't know what it was.
It's fine.
Traumatized.
You got to learn somewhere. It's fine.
Very traumatized. Well, anyway, I want to put this submission forward because I was driving with Michael the other day and he just chimed in. He goes, Mum, last time I was down at Auntie Jules' house, there was a big bag filled with little plastic penises on the table.
No.
And I thought, my initial thought was, you know, like a hen's night, must be for a hen's night. And then I thought, no, maybe Jules has just left out her big bag of dildos.
She did not.
It's Jules's big old bag of dicks. Big old bag of dicks.
What are you doing? Putting them in the kitchen sink cleaning them?
Where did I come from? Not as bad as a bag of dicks, mate. Not,
explain that one.
Explain that
did
one.
Did he ask?
I said that. I said, did you ask? He's like, nah. I'm like, oh, that's typical. Right. Very typically you just not to ask and bring it up like 6 months later.
Yeah, just be like, P.S., there's a big pack of dildos when I got babysat last
time. I'm like, what did you think it was? He's like, oh, I thought it was for a game or something.
Is for a game, I guess. Yeah.
I think they must have been the little plastic, you know, hens. Variety. But look,
is that,
who
is
knows?
That making that story easier for you to digest if it is?
Yeah, well, I can't digest if it's a bag of dildos, can I? Put it away, Jules.
Does Put Jules know you're telling this story?
No.
Great, love that. Hi, Max.
All right.
Max is Julia's 5-year-old?
He is nine.
Nine, loves to listen. Hi, Max.
He does love to listen. Hello, Maxie. What have you been up to?
Well, it's just been the long weekend, Labor Day weekend, and I went camping. So there was like eight of us.
Yeah.
Was there eight of us? Yeah. Anyway, it was my dad, my stepmom, her kids, so my step-siblings and couple their kids. Lovely weekend. It was just Brian barking at passing boats.
Oh,
it was a lot
great,
of parks.
Great.
It was on the Murray. Beautiful. But we produced about 5 bags of rubbish.
Right.
All right. So we're packing up a lot of rubbish. You've got to take your rubbish with you.
You do.
Keep Australia beautiful, all that shit. So we bag up all this rubbish, but everyone's car's full of like kids and camping stuff and whatever. And they're like, oh, Amanda, it's just you and Brian in the car. Can you take the rubbish with you? And at first I was like, yeah.
They made you the garbo.
Oh, I was the garbo. Yeah. So I had like, dad put one on the top of his strapped one to the top of his roof and my stepbrother and sister took kind of two. But I had 3 bags of like sopping garbage. They were leaking. Should smell
moist
my car.
Moist garbage.
In the boot of my car with all my tent and everything and just one just sitting on the seat next to Brian in the back seat.
No.
Mate, I had to drive 100k an hour down all the freeways, 110k an hour with all 4 windows down. Because the flies were coming in. Brian was like snapping at the flies. I was like, smells delightful. Yeah. But it was a great weekend. Besides the garbage run. Yeah. It was like three hours from where I live. So it was 3 hours at 110K with the windows down.
That's hectic.
Yeah, it was a bit hectic. But I did have some wins this week.
Yeah, tell me.
I don't have a black eye anymore.
Yes, the black eyes.
Black eyes, they're gone. I'm looking my usual fresh self.
That's gorgeous.
That was
stunning.
A stretch. Thank you. Thank you. But this week, I'm working with my brother. We're building a deck.
Yeah.
And he sent me a mini project, which is he let me build the step from the stumps up. So stumps, bearers, joists.
Yeah.
bloody, then we put the planks on, bit of a mitre corner, bit of a splayed checkout on the plinth.
These words mean nothing to me, but get go that. You.
You're giving me so blank, such a blank look. But I'm going to put this step up Facebook.
Yep, we will.
Because I'm fucking so proud of myself.
Love that for you.
Yeah, it took me like three days.
Good. Yeah, it thanks. Good.
Yeah, it's from a distance and I've taken it on an angle because you can't see where I've fucked the checkout from the angle that I've given you.
Oh, but it's all about
it's Insta-friendly. It's not, wouldn't put it on my resume.
Okay.
It's a work in progress.
It's a blurry kind of glamour shot.
It is. Situation. Yeah. But I was really happy with myself.
Love that for you.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yes. I've built something, Georgia. I've built something from scratch and I didn't have to get two black eyes for it. It was a small stamp. So something else is going on, Georgia. Let's speak on it because it's relevant for today.
It's very relevant today. So we had one of my child's parent-teacher interview the other day.
Yeah.
And basically it was a bit of a mic. The teacher did a bit of a mic drop situation.
Love that for
and
her.
Basically said, I think he may have inattentive ADHD and kind of gave us a list of things that he's been struggling with in the classroom and was basically like, yep, you need to go to the pediatrician. You need to go and get an OT. So we walked out a bit like shell-shocked, although it's funny, you know, over the years I've had little separate things that kind of flickered away in my mind, but it was never drawn together for me. Amanda, I just went Burko. I went fucking Burko.
You went loco.
I went loco because I'm like,
to do it, mate. Woo!
We need interventions. I was like calling up one of our mutual friends, Jane, who's a pediatric speech therapist. I'm like, give me all the pediatricians that have low waiting lists. Give me your OTs that have got low waiting lists.
Let's get this done.
I've applied for the NDIS. I was like, that. So he's in. He's in with the OT. We've had a couple of appointments and we're in to see the pediatricians on 7th of May. But it's been a big eye opener because I just understand him in a completely different way now. Like we've had a lot of kind of troubles at home with managing some behaviors and now I'm like, oh, it all makes sense, mate.
Yeah, you're like
story checks out and like we've made a few little interventions at home, like one of them being me just instead of, you know, shouting from the kitchen, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth and put your pajamas on and wondering why nothing was happening, go up and hold his hands and look in his eyes and say, can you go to the bathroom? And then I'll come to the bathroom with him and say, can you brush your teeth? Just doing one.
Oh, yeah.
Like breaking it down to one word instruction. One.
Wish someone would do that to
me. I need someone doing that constantly.
I'm thinking of time. Just
Georgia,
get out of bed now.
Just 1 foot in front of the other.
You
left.
Right. Yeah. I just need a producer in my ear, just be like, and now.
Breathe.
Yeah. Nailed it.
So,
gentle words of encouragement.
Yeah, gentle words of encouragement. But it's just been, it's been a real eye-opener because I also think that I have it and I think that my other son has it as well. And it's just
a family affair.
It's a family affair. And this is not just like me, a random thing going, oh, I've got it and everyone's got it. It's like me looking at it and feeling a deep sense of like, affirmation and light bulbs and being seen and going fucking hell. So there's that. There's just been a lot of
that's a journey.
It's a journey.
Oh, sorry.
It's a journey. And look, initially Stu was like when I was trying to say that I had it, he's like, no, come on, no. And then he's the only thing he would concede on, he's like, you do tend to not listen to me when I'm speaking a lot. I can see that you like. And I do it. Like if he starts talking about something that doesn't interest me, I kind of just switch my listening face on, like like a screensaver. Like, you know, like Homer Simpson when he puts the glasses with the eyes. Yeah. And Stu's like, I'm not fooling him. He's like, I know that you're just not listening, mate. And that's the one he conceded. But then eventually he's like, yeah, I think you do have it. But anyway, yes. So there's been a lot. It's just been a full-on 2 weeks.
That has been a fucking week.
A fucking week. And I want to ask you one more question.
Go.
Do you know what a sprocket is?
Yes.
Well, I do not, okay? So Stu telling me that his bike's been serviced. It's got serviced and he's like, all I was hearing was blah, 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 blah. And then I heard sprocket. I went, oh, sounds like sprocket. And he's like, do you not know what a sprocket is? I said, nah. And then he's like, do you know what a cog is? And I'm like, look, I theoretically know what a cog is, but it's not in my day-to-day.
And he's like, oh my God, you don't know what a cog is. You don't know. And he's like walking around like just wigging out.
That you don't know what a sprocket is.
That I don't know what a cog is and I don't know what a sprocket is. I'm like, mate, the level of detail that I want to hear on your bike service story is that your bike got serviced.
Yeah,
that's all it. I don't want cogs. I don't want sprockets. And he's like.
100%. And until you can put a full face of fucking makeup on, don't tell me about what I don't know.
And I pulled out my phone as we were talking and he goes, are you looking up what a cog is? And I said, fucking no way, because I don't fucking care. I do not care. I'm not bothered. Am I bothered? I ain't bothered. I am bothered about your cog, mate.
Which cog? No. Sorry. Too far. Sprocket and cog. I was like, are you guys having a sex game? Is this what's going on?
Sounds fun. This wasn't fun.
Yeah.
It was just...
Nobody cares.
Anyway, and then last thing about the ADHD, I'm like, mate, what's the issue here? If I'm tuning out when you're talking, do I have ADHD or are you just boring? Like, which one is it? Do I the jury's out.
Burn.
Anyway, we love you, Stu. Please edit our podcast.
Thank you. We really appreciate all the work you do. And you would look so good with the full face of makeup on, just so you know.
All right, I got it out of my system.
Good.
Sorry, that was long.
Love that.
Yep.
All right, so talking about ADHD.
Yes.
We thought we'd get someone who actually has it.
Yes. Not just self-diagnosed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So without further ado, introducing the amazing Rock and Roll Rach, which is her nickname in our circle of friends.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! Okay. Rach, you nervous?
Yep, absolutely.
Rock and Roll Rach, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Happy to be here. Thanks.
Love it. All right. First off, I just wanted to preface this. Like, we did have a bit of a discussion about whether ADHD is a disability or a mental illness. Mm. So in Australia, it is considered, at this point in time, it's considered a mental disorder. Mm. Although, Rach, you...
Yeah, so... With workplace laws, well, legislation, I think within Victoria, it is considered a disability.
Yeah.
Is that for, that's for reasonable adjustment, isn't it? Like, so your boss has to...
Provide reasonable, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So not to be discriminated against, essentially.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, indeed. Wow. Yeah.
All right, let's start with where did your ADHD journey start?
Well,
besides birth.
Conception.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all those years. So I was a late diagnosis.
Yeah, so describe late. What's that, 30?
Well, I'm currently 38. When did I get diagnosed? 36, I think I was.
Yeah.
But I think it sort of came to my attention through other people and just things I'd read and heard and listened to. Probably for a couple of years prior to that.
Yeah.
And
were people like, you got ADHD, bitch? Like,
well.
Or were they gently suggesting it?
More diplomatic. Yeah.
Well, I think actually the first person who said it to me was Val, which is my ex-partner. Mm-hmm. And she had said to me years ago, prior to her sister and her sister's partner moving over to Australia.
Yeah.
And she was explaining what her sister was like, and then she said, oh, I think she has ADHD. She does this. And then she goes, you know, actually, you two are quite similar.
So she was diplomatic.
Yeah. She's like, maybe you. And I was like, oh, good on you, mate.
Come on.
Like, what are you bloody talking about? You know, because you think about the 10-year-old boy in the classroom.
Throwing the chair.
Yeah. So I was just sort of like, what is this woman on about?
So didn't relate to anything that she said in terms of like symptoms? And what were the symptoms kind of that she...
Yeah, I think the symptoms were just, you know, the kind of not having your life together in a generic kind of way and the way you communicated and lived your life and, you know, in a basic sort of way.
Yeah. No, that's kind of an attack on your personality, isn't it?
It was. Yeah, I was like, why must you psychoanalyze me?
Yeah.
Please go away.
Yeah.
And why must you tell me I'm shit at life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was probably also the going from 0 to 100, you know, emotionally. like in nanoseconds.
Yeah, that right. Was,
yeah, hard relate. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about talk about that, because that's about emotional regulation, right?
Yeah,
or, which is an AD or lack of.
Yeah, emotional dysregulation.
There you go. That's the term I was looking for.
Yeah.
Which is an ADHD symptom.
Absolutely.
Oh, should we define ADHD? All right. So maybe we should start with what ADHD stands for.
So, attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
And there's a few different types, isn't there?
There is, yeah. So hyperactive, inattentive, and combined.
Yeah.
Ah.
So for my son, they're saying inattentive. Which one do you have, Rach?
I would say combined.
Combined.
Yeah.
Just a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Just why lucky. Not?
Totally.
Well, my father always said variety is the spice of life.
Yes. Nailed it.
Yeah.
So you are good at life.
Correct. Yes. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. A bit of everything.
Absolutely. So, yeah, got the kind of zoning out, daydreaming, staring out the window kind of scenarios. Also got the can't sit still, this is annoying me, I need to remove myself or just do something that is much more fun than whatever is happening, you know, like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And yeah, so both. Great. Excellent.
Love that. So you've been named and shamed by your partner at the time. So then when was the next step with you actually being like, maybe I should check this out?
So not too long after that, maybe 6 months after myself and Val broke up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a lot of pondering time after that.
Rude.
I was living alone and it was COVID time, lockdown time. Yeah. And a lot of... I think that was a very big time for a lot of women, not girls, but women realizing, finding out that they had ADHD. It just kind of came to the forefront.
There's a cascade, isn't there, of women like absolutely. Mia Freeman, Annabelle Crabb, Clementine Ford.
Yes.
So many women. And it's, yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense,
Felicity
too.
Ward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who... Story checks out, man.
Oh, definitely.
But... A lot of writers, which I was like, oh, yeah, that story checks out.
Comedian.
Yeah. But this is the thing, that people who are really, who can hyper-focus on something they're really passionate about and they give it their all and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Definitely.
I wish I was hyper-focused. Yeah. They're just like wandering through my life, reacting to things.
Jesus. But so it was during lockdown that that's when you had your reckoning with it?
Yeah. So there was... lots of different things in the media, articles, podcasts, interviews and that sort of thing. And a friend said to me that they thought they might have it. Mm. And this is prior to me listening and reading to a lot of things. And she pointed out a few things. And I was like, mate, that's normal. And she's like, no, Rachel, no, it's not.
Apparently not.
Okay,
but... Yeah, apparently you're a fucking weirdo.
And so the more things I, you know, was listening to,
yeah.
I remember washing the dishes one day, listening to a podcast,
yeah.
and I literally stopped and turned and looked at my phone. I was like,
get out of my head, get out of my head.
Yeah. So then did a deep dive and I was like, holy mother of God. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And considering that I'd always thought there was something wrong or something different about me, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. That feeling different, I know what you're talking about there. It's that feeling like, why am I failing at these things that other people can do? Yeah. Like, why can this person next to me run a budget, run an organized house, do this, that, and the other, not run late? And why am I failing at these things? Like, that's I feel it. Like a failure. And I think especially the pressure that society puts on a woman to do those things.
Yeah.
It's quite gendered, isn't it? But like, yeah, that feeling of being, oh, I'm just shit at that.
Well, that's it. Why is everything so much harder for me?
Yes.
Why are these basic, really basic things extremely hard for me?
All right. What do we consider to be the basic things that are really hard?
Oh, being on time, losing things like your glasses, your phone, your keys, your wallet.
So like important things.
Yeah.
Or things that you need to like.
Like in every moment of your day, you know, like or just cooking. You're like, okay, recipe says this will take half an hour of prep time, 20 minutes of cooking time. Yep. So 3 hours later, I'm like, mate, I am hungry.
That is the cleanest bathroom I've ever had, and I am starving. The chapter I wrote of that novel is great. Still hungry. So this, you're talking about being inattentive or just like very distracted by things.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, combined.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, yeah. So say I'm cleaning, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm taking the bin out. I take the rubbish out. Yep. But along the way, I come across other things that need to be done. And so the rubbish bag is next to the rubbish bin, but I've not picked up some cups and put them somewhere. Mm. Oh, that cupboard's open. Should I reorganize the linen cupboard?
100%.
Oh, and then something popped into my mind and I was like, oh yeah, I should text that person. It's been a month. God, I really need a cigarette. I really need a beer. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then to come back and just see this like trail of destruction, you know?
Just picking things up and putting them down and moving on and picking more things up and putting them down. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And walking around going, why am I here? Why am I standing here?
Oh, God, yeah.
Why am I? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I want to circle back to that, the feeling different and you saying to your friend, yeah, that's just normal. Because, so since you've been diagnosed, we were talking about this off the mics, you went to your mum, because often it's inherited. No offense, Georgia, you fucked everybody.
Sorry, that's one of the things I've been torturing myself about.
Yeah, love that. No. Sorry. And I'm being super helpful there. So you had a conversation with your mum. How did she react to your diagnosis?
Well, it was prior to being diagnosed.
All right.
But it was when I was doing the deep dive, being like, okay, I think I, at that stage, had gotten a referral.
Excellent.
To get a diagnosis. And I said, so this is what's happening. And she's like, rightio. And I said, also, I think you have ADHD.
Boom!
Oh, mate, she laughed me out of town. Like, she was like, what are you, like, really?
Yeah, right.
She's like, you're an idiot. Yeah. Like, and just laughed. And I said, no, I know this sounds strange because we always think about, you know, when children and boys and this sort of thing. I said, but I'll send you some articles. I'll send you some podcasts and this, that, the other. And then you'll get a better understanding. And so, yeah, like a week later, she was like, oh, my God, my whole life.
Wow. Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, I think that she just has it so way, way worse than me.
Yeah, wow.
Would she ever go through the diagnosis process and or is she just like, nah, fuck it?
I think she, in a way, was sort of keen to just to see where it led her. But, you know, it is quite hard getting everything done and the money involved and the waiting lists and the this and the that.
What is the money involved, Rachel? Like, it's quite expensive, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah. So initial consultation / diagnosis with a psychiatrist and for a legitimate formal diagnosis has to be through a psychiatrist.
Yeah, those guys are so expensive. Yeah.
So expensive. Yeah. At minimum, it would be $700.
Yeah, wow.
Could be up to about $1,600. And you will be on a waiting list minimum 6 months up to sometimes a couple of years. You know, like it's just, it's hard work.
Yeah.
And just navigating the health, medical, you know.
Don't bother. You can't even put the fucking bins out. You're like, I'm not navigating this.
So what is it? Task avoidance? What
Task paralysis.
Oh, task paralysis. Yeah.
So you're, so this is interesting. I know, I keep circling back to your mum like a fucking psycho. But I think it's a really interesting point that when you describe your experience to your mum, so I know that this has happened, like my mum has depression. So when I describe my experience of depression to my mum, she will often validate my experience as just being a normal part of life. So because I didn't get diagnosed with depression until later in life. And the same with you with ADHD. And am I assuming that your mum's, you say, describing your feelings to your mum being like, yeah, that's just like the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Because that's how she experiences the world as well.
Yeah.
And I think I experienced a similar thing with the boys, you know, when teachers said, about both of them. Oh, they're daydreamers and they're just a bit disengaged and they're kind of looking out the window daydreaming. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's what I do. They're kids and yeah. I daydream and, oh, yeah, you know, what does that mean? Or you know, they have really messy handwriting. I had really messy handwriting. I didn't get my pen license. I was the last one. Even all the boys got it before me. And I think they just gave it to me like out of like, oh, we'll give it to you.
Go on.
yeah, so I think that familiar thing that you're talking about there is really interesting with what you go, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
But actually,
it's perhaps not, yeah. It's not typical. I shouldn't say
normal. Neurotypical.
Neurotypical. Yeah. Still getting there with all the language.
Oh, yeah, you got to get it right. No. But it'd be coming at you. Not on this podcast because we're a bit un-PC.
My little boy, I don't want to crush his self-confidence and I want to be really careful about the way that I talk about it because I know that it's a big issue, isn't it, with ADHD and self-confidence that you end up. A podcast I was listening to, they said that children with ADHD hear like it was something like 20 times more a day, like, stop that, don't do that, like negative feedback because they're constantly not.
Ah.
So I'm super conscious now of giving heaps and heaps of positive reinforcement because I don't want him to end up crushed by life, by feeling like he's failing at life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That constant feeling of just your entire life thinking that you're broken, your brain is broken, you are bad, you can't do
shit at this.
Yeah, like bad, 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 guilt, shame, bad, bad, bad.
Mm.
It's
And did that that obviously has followed you into adulthood as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there shame around not being able to do, inverted commas, do the things that other people can do? Do you ever be like, oh, I'm just good at other things?
Because, yeah, there's positive, like the hyper-focus. Yeah. There's real positive things, isn't
there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, something grab your attention and you deep dive into it.
Yeah.
You are really good at knowing loads of intimate details, you know, about sometimes things that are really helpful and sometimes about just random stuff.
My boys come up to me and say, I'm like, oh, right, that's what you got going on in that little head of yours. it's a lot and it's that knowledge of so many different things.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
Yeah, like, for a bit of background, Rachel and I know each other because we randomly met at a wedding and just like connected. We're just like, I really like you and discover we live around the corner from each other. So of course we had to be best friends,
of course.
And Rachel rides motorbikes and she has an encyclopedic knowledge of motorbikes in general.
So you know what a sprocket is then?
I do.
And a cog.
Well,
and she fucking cares.
She cares. Yeah, well, there you go, Stu. Someone cares.
Yeah, love it. All right, so shit show, like a psychiatrist, like the cost and everything. So it's a bit of an effort to Understatement. So tell me why you chose to actually go through with it.
Well, essentially, like I was saying before, you know, feeling like your brain is broken and there's something wrong with you. And I had felt like that my entire life. And finally finding the thing that was wrong.
Yeah.
I wanted to tackle it head on.
Yeah.
And it did affect my life day to day, all day, every day. And just so many different facets of my life. And I just thought, well, if I can get a diagnosis and get help, and or get medication or go through the channels, maybe I could live life like a normal person.
Oh, my God. Like a normal person. All of those people.
I don't know them.
I don't know.
Boring.
Yeah, I have to get rid of them in my life. It's just a shame. Yeah, like other people, you go over and you're like, oh, your house is so clean.
Your house is spotless. Yeah.
How
do you do that?
Yeah. So let's go through some of the symptoms, and I'm quite interested, and I'm sure our listeners are, I'm just putting words in their mouth, about some of the symptoms and how they manifest and how they make you feel. So first cab off the rank, Rachel's given me a list before, I'm cheating, object permanence.
Right, so object permanence, basically unless you can see something, it doesn't exist. So more things that are day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about an example earlier, say, for instance, with my keep cup. I'm trying to do my little tiny, tiny part for the environment and take my
climate change.
Take my cup when I go and get my coffee every day. However, when I've lived alone or with a partner, said keep cup will just sit on the bench where I can see it. So every morning.
Well belongs.
Where it belongs.
Yeah.
So when I'm getting ready for work in the morning, I have my exact routine, everything where it needs to be, so I can get out the door and try to be on time.
Yeah. You just got to try.
That's it.
That's all you can do.
But say, for instance, living in a share house, said keep cup gets put in the cupboard. And so therefore it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And every morning at the coffee shop, they're like, Rach, where's your keep cup? And I'm like, oh no. And for 2 weeks until I'm like, okay, I need to take this out of the cupboard and put it on my desk in my room.
Yeah.
Otherwise
it's gone.
Yeah. But that is a very basic kind of example, but it just...
Yeah.
But for more important stuff...
That's huge.
That's hugely problematic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So like your rego or...
Yeah.
I was uninsured for a year because I fucking put the nose somewhere else.
And it was gone. Well, guys... I've got a story about object permanence for you. So when I had my first son, Michael, he was born, he was beautiful, but he only had one ball. One of the his testicles was undescended. And they said, you know, it'll come down. You know, in the first year, it's going to come down. Like, don't worry about it. Here's the baby. It's all fine. It's fine. And I said, right, so what I'm hearing is, here's a baby, take care of it, but it's got one ball. Here's a baby, take care of it, but it's got one ball. Okay? And so I've just filed, once the one ball information was out of my mind, I didn't think about it again, Rach and Amanda. I didn't think about it again until Michael had a bit of a cropper on his bike and smashed his balls on the handlebars. Like, and his balls were black, and we had to go to the doctor. And the doctor's feeling around his balls, and he's like, has the ball? He thought the ball had been like impacted by the fall and pushed back up. And I'm like, no. He's actually only got one ball, but like it's coming in, isn't it? At some stage, Michael was 9, and the doctor is like, Mrs. Moulds, that is not how it works. His ball is not coming in. He's going to need surgery to bring it down.
Oh, mate.
I fucking forgot that my kid had one ball. What kind of mother am I?
Well,
object permanence. Yeah. Out of mind. But you know how, like, what the fuck?
You're losing keys, you're losing balls. You guys can't be trusted.
Look,
clearly.
He's got 2 now and it's all fine, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. 2 balls. Nice.
Yes. All
right. So, shit show, like a psychiatrist, like the cost and everything. So, it's a bit of an effort to understatement. So tell me why you chose to actually go through with it.
Well, essentially, like I was saying before, you know, feeling like your brain is broken and there's something wrong with you. And I had felt like that my entire life. And finally finding the thing that was wrong.
Yeah.
I wanted to tackle it head on.
Yeah.
And it did affect my life day to day, all day, every day, and just so many different facets of my life. And I just thought, well, if I can get a diagnosis and get help and or get medication or go through the channels, maybe I could live life like a normal person.
Oh, my God.
Like
those people. Okay, next symptom, cab off the rank. Time blindness.
Yeah. Ah, it's a great one.
What does it mean to be time blind?
Well, always running late is, and I feel like maybe when I was younger, maybe I was better at being on time. Probably because I was catching public transport, so I could literally time it and that sort of thing. But I was trying so hard, but it's the kind of thing you're like, okay, I have X amount of time to get ready, 2 hours. And you're like, that's loads of time.
Yeah.
And you blink and the time is gone. I don't know what happens. The distractions, the mind's gone off somewhere. I'm nearly 40 and it's really hard to be on time for work. I mean, to be fair, it's super early in the morning, which is absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
But it's, I know how long it takes me to get ready in the morning, and I know what I need to do and how I should be prepared. But day in, day out, I just, it's all of a sudden you go, okay, so it's 6:10. Yep. God, I've got to get out the door. Yeah. I've got to get out the door. And somehow between that moment and the moment I'm at my car, like say 8 minutes have passed, but it's actually been 30 seconds. So, but then if you put that in larger amounts of time, you know, it's like, oh, I've got 2 hours. It's gone in about 15 minutes. Yeah. So it's really, oh God, it's so hard. Yeah. Yeah. Same with the cooking. They're like, oh yeah, 20 minutes for this, 30 minutes for that. And 3 hours later, wow, still hungry. So it's just constant not being able to estimate time, thinking that you have more time. Mm. It's, there's no...
What does my brother say? You can't piss on it and make it grow.
Yeah. It's just like a lack of the concept of time. It's just, it's the strangest thing.
That is, yeah, that's so strange because I'm so focused on time.
I reckon it is a... Because when I was looking up pathological demand avoidance with my son, it sort of came up as a thing, and that they say that time is a demand. So you're like avoiding the... It's another way of a demand avoidance because... You know, there's so many things that are a demand in your day, and time is one of them. And yeah, does that ring true?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just sort of also having time to yourself, you're like, oh, I'm doing this thing and I'm enjoying this thing. Yes. So I need that right now because it's giving me the dopamine.
Yeah. Like, so I don't want to move to this other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, I only have 20 minutes and then I need to go. And literally, I think the only reason I was really on time today was because I was. Had a terrible sleep, woken up by a possum, staggered sleep, and then woke up at 6 and I was like, all right, well, I'll just get up then.
I'll see you in 6 hours to get here. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was great.
I'll need at least 7. I mean,
Do you get demand avoidance in general? Does that resonate with you? Is that one of yours? Oh, that wasn't one of yours.
I've sort of more thought of it, oh, I suppose, it, like, oppositional defiance.
Yeah, I
guess. In a sense, you know, or, but just. The demands of life and, you know, social structures and that sort of thing. You're like, no, I don't want to. I want to have me time. I want to do this stuff.
And I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And the stuff that was listed when I read about it was like eating. It was going to the toilet. It was getting dressed. It was like there's actually so many things that you can avoid.
Tell me about the hyperfocus.
Oh, the good bits.
Yes.
So hyper-focusing. Okay, so finding something that sparks your interest.
Yeah.
And then just being like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, YouTube rabbit holes, like articles. And you can be in one of these hyper-focused, like so deep into it that the world around you doesn't exist. And you can be in this thing for like 6 hours and you're just like, got to find out all the things, some random person that you heard about their name, some actor or something, or what the history of that country, and oh, that dictator, maybe I'll start getting into dictators now and learn about each single one of them and why they did the things.
Give a
TED
talk in 3 weeks' time about it.
But then they also become hobbies, you know, like within your life. Yeah. So, for a time there, I decided to. Go to uni part time while I was working full time and study.
You'd be able to squeeze that in.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure, why not?
You'll be on time for everything.
Got no time here. Add one more thing.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
So I decided to study health science and left school early, was never good at maths, and let's do some chemical equations. Sure. But, you know, it was really interesting. It was just my life for a couple of years, you know.
And I remember that.
Wow, it's so excellent. And then I got into surfing and I was like, this is the business. Health science? What? Bloody health science. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I need to get back into motorbikes. Oh my God, I'm going to live and breathe oil and grease and engines and hyperfocus. Love it.
Do the things circle back? Because you've still got surfing, you'll still surf, you still, like you're still interested in health science and obviously motorbikes.
Yeah.
But so these things stay with you. How do you reckon that the interest shifts? So I just find that interesting.
It's, well, I suppose when you get to a point where you're like, okay, I think I've come to, it's either like a block or you just go, oh, I remember that thing. Oh my God, that's amazing. It's just that your attention shifts. Yeah. So, you know, those hyperfocuses that then became hobbies that you lived and breathed forever, they will still be there. But if there's all the things that you learnt, sometimes people go, oh, you know, tell me this and this and this about biochemistry. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you forget.
Yeah,
you
just, like, absolutely.
Forget. Like, I forgot what my honours thesis was about. Like, I couldn't even tell you. They're like, what was your thesis about? And I'm like, no, I actually can't remember a thing about it.
Which is bizarre, right? But it's true because you're like, well, no, I've done that now. It's over. It's done.
Why would I remember it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the hyperfocus is interesting with my son. I notice it in him because he's very interested in like evolution and biology, and he has lots of questions around that. And he keeps saying, he'll ask me all these full-on questions, digging down. And he's like, Mummy, you better not say, that's a good question. I better Google it again because I'm sick of hearing you say that. Like, because he's a question. The questions are so intense that I don't know the answers, and they're so involved, and he's so into it. And I do just have to say, that's a great question. You're going to have to let me Google it because I have.
Google's sprocket.
Yeah. But I have no idea. I think it's probably just time maybe to let him let loose on YouTube a little bit and find all these things that he's so interested in diving down the rabbit hole on, because I cannot provide the answers. Like,
yeah.
And he's so, he'll keep drilling.
And that's it. You know yourself, when you're in it, you need more. Yeah, you're obsessed. Yeah. You have to know why. You need all the answers.
And he will keep going until he is satisfied with the answer. And yeah, often he's...
And you're clearly not providing any satisfaction.
Google, mate, Google.
So what happens if you're in a hyper-focused state, if someone tries to pull you out of it? For example, comes over and be like, hey, Rach, because you're like YouTubing, deep dive YouTube.
Sprocket.
Yeah. You haven't quite figured out what a sprocket does yet, but you're nearly there. And someone comes over and is like, hey, do you want to go out for a beer, or just like interrupt you at all in any way?
Yeah, that's... That's probably when they're going to get hurt. Like, because you're so into something.
Yeah.
And someone's just, like, broken, like, cracked your focus. It's like someone's just kind of kicked you in the face.
Wow.
You're like...
Yeah, wow.
What are you doing? Oh, like, you really want to hurt people.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah.
It's physical, yeah?
Yeah. Like the rage. You can feel rage building, you know, because once they've broken it, then they've pissed you off. Yeah. Then you're in a mood. Yeah. You can't get back to that place.
Yeah.
And everyone must die.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Burn it to the ground.
I'd kill you with a sprocket if I knew how it fucking worked.
I'd be like one of the Ninja Turtles, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. George is laughing, but you don't know what a sprocket is, do you, George?
I don't know, because I don't care.
Love that. So the rage, because we've talked about this before, the rage is a feature of your ADHD as well.
Yeah. And obviously everyone's experience is different.
Yeah.
For myself, emotional dysregulation.
Yeah.
So it comes in many forms, but going from 0 to 100 in nanoseconds is definitely a thing. And, you know, it is a nervous system thing as well.
Yeah.
And look, it's terrible, but you just can't help it. And it's full of shame and guilt and all the rest of it, because you'll fly off the handle for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I feel terrible. You know, sometimes, you know, you'll say things, you know, the words come out and you're like, I wish my brain was there when the words were coming out of my mouth. Because now, you know, I have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
And then you'll just guilt, shame.
Of course. Yep.
Deep dive of depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rage is coming from... I know we've talked about this before, about you having road rage, about just like not wanting to be in this situation, or like having set up routines, like, you know, my keep cup goes here, and then it being interrupted, which is how you're like coping with life. So basically you're setting up all these things to kind of, you know, cope with life, and then they're being interrupted. So then it doesn't take much, because you're like kind of just hanging on there, just being like, I'm just trying to get through the fucking day, being on time with my fucking keep cup.
Let me live.
It's constant, like, you know, noise in your head all the time, and you're putting all these, like you say, coping mechanisms. Yeah. Before I even knew about the ADHD, I was like, I have to do this for this to work. Like, put all my keys, this, that, the other in this place, this, this, and this. So when people fuck with that, it's rage invoking, you know. Also, you know, I don't know, just, I don't work people early in the morning.
Oh, no, don't talk to me.
And I've flown off the handle at many a bosses.
Yeah.
And they've been like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. Like, I literally just told them to get fucked.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Maybe they need to.
Yeah.
Still don't know what a fucking sprocket is.
But also road rage. So
I always felt, I found this really curious. The way you describe it is really so visceral.
Yeah. So I would consider myself a good driver. Yeah. And I don't like it when people are not.
Yeah.
And I think if you're operating a death machine, which most vehicles are, you should adhere to the road rules.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going under the speed limit is something that really, really annoys me.
It's actually illegal.
It is. Well, to a degree. Dangerous. Yeah, more than 10 Ks or 10 Ks or more is illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's dangerous and people just doing dumb shit. And I'm just going to go here because I want to. Not following the road rules. And it just, the arrogance of it all, like, it just makes me rage. If we've almost had an accident because you're a fuckwit, that makes me really, really mad. Life is really hard for me, but you're just a knob, like, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I'm like, no, fuck you. So I'm often, oh, look, I'm a bit of a bastard driver. So I'm often yelling out the window, on the horn, get out of the fucking way. Like, all those bad things. And I hate myself for it.
Motherfucker.
But I'm far better now. But, yeah, there have been times in the past where there's been altercations, as in people getting out of cars. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Is that person you?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, the shoe fits, man. If they're going to get out, I'm getting out.
Yeah, yeah. So there's been...
Yeah.
Many a confrontational situations. And I think the most recent one was when that.
Yeah, after Sheila's.
Yeah. So
that's fucked though.
Yeah, big time. So about a year ago, coming back from the best weekend ever.
Yes. And Sheila's Shakedown. Yeah. Represent. Basically an all female motorcycle festival.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Amazing. It's the business.
It is the business.
Yeah. So basically, to get home, it was about an hour's ride. Yep. I am 5 minutes from home.
Yep.
At the time, I was living in Richmond, and I think I was on Vic Parade.
Yeah.
And this imbecile basically cut me off, almost caused an accident, you know, like did all the wrong things. And so when I pulled up beside him, I'm like, you know, told him that he was not very good at driving. Yeah.
Obviously very politely.
Yes. And so we discussed that for a time. And then I went in front of him and then he decided to, with his car, ram me on my motorcycle into another car.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was very lucky that I wasn't broken. Yeah, and that
you're a very competent rider.
Thank you.
Was that, that's like criminal...
Yes.
Like that's... It's a fucking attempted murder as far as I'm concerned. If you've ever ridden a bike, I'm like, attempted murder.
Yes.
Fuck, it's so dangerous.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, I later went to the cops and he lied about everything because, But even after that, I got off my bike and we had another discussion about his... his use of his car
as a weapon against someone on a bike. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Oh, that's mental. It was like an out of body experience. I saw myself grab him and headbutt him with my helmet on, and in every part of my being wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how or what stopped me, but I didn't do that.
Good. Yeah, I was like, I missed that bit of the story.
Yeah. So no, that didn't happen. But there have been situations where that kind of amount of rage
is
just happening, and I've got in a lot of trouble for it.
I've had
my head kicked in quite a few times.
So we were going to say that ADHD does have an impact on your life. You were right to pursue a diagnosis.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So generally speaking, obviously you're having ADHD is putting you and your body in a state of almost like fight and flight, isn't it? Because you're... and this is, I'm paraphrasing what Rachel's told me off the mics, kind of, I guess in an anxiety state, like your head's busy, like bzz, 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 always sound all the time, always noise all the time. And, you know, anxiety is driving you towards, you know, trying to be on time and, you know, the shame and whatnot. I just wanted to touch on comorbidity because you have an autoimmune disease as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So a few.
Why have one? I mean, just one. Boring.
Make it interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose, one of a basic one would be like something as simple as psoriasis, you know, but it's like a skin condition. But when extremely stressed, things come out. Had lots of gut issues and they wondered for a long time, oh, you know, there's some sort of irritable bowel thing. No, no, just fight or flight, adrenaline, this, that, this state of, you
adrenaline,
know.
Yeah, adrenaline, yeah.
All, you know, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And then for some time I had issues with chronic pain and they just couldn't really figure out what was going on. And they're like, oh, well, it's fibromyalgia. And some people say that's not a thing. That is a thing. People are like, oh, well, it's just the thing they say when they don't know what you actually have. But a further deep dive, when I started seeing a rheumatologist and had 1,010 different tests going on, and they said, oh, well, basically you've got some sort of inflammatory arthritis. It's likely psoriatic arthritis or just inflammatory arthritis. So these sort of things don't have like a rheumatoid factor. They're hard to pin down. And essentially the way to treat them is to take immunosuppressants. So
you have to live your life in a totally different way.
Absolutely. And I am a drinker and smoker and good time gal. You know.
Not trying to cope with anything at all.
No, clearly. Just stuff it down.
Nothing.
Fill it with good stuff.
Fill it with beer. Fill the void with beer. That's why Rachel and I get on so well.
Indeed.
In case you don't know, autoimmune disease immune suppressants basically do exactly what they say, I guess, is suppress your immune system, lower your immune system.
Yeah. Because your immune system is attacking itself. It's cells, your cells. Yeah. When it shouldn't be. Like it thinks that there's
your
bad
body
stuff.
Thinks you're basically your body thinks it's in danger and but if you lower they're like anti-rejection drugs like so if you have a transplant or something like that an organ transplant they lower your immune system so you don't attack that new organ but they also make you susceptible
to
the common flu
like COVID.
You'd be a COVID nightmare
it was during lockdown
and
they're like here take these I'm like during a global pandemic I don't think so
kill me now fuck.
And I was reading because she was like look, basically, this is the go. We've got one more test to go, but what I'm going to do is give you this prescription and this information brochure and just give us a call next week when we get the results because, look, then you'll just have all the stuff and you can go and get this.
Right.
And I'm reading the info pack and they're like, make your eyes go yellow, make your skin... And I'm like, so basically because it's shutting my liver down, it's giving me hepatitis.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I'm like, I know.
Probably going to go a hard no on that.
Yeah, agreed.
Good
choices
by you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
At least you had choices, I guess. That's
well,
a plus.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Talk me through task paralysis.
Task paralysis. Well, for joy. So essentially, you know, like you've got something to do, you have many things to do, many things on the list, and to the point where there's so many things that you don't know where to begin. What order should I do this in? Let's do that. And you're like, oh my God, this is, everything's become really hard. Will I be able to do that properly? How am I going to do that? Is that the right order? Should I do that? Blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, 6 hours has passed and you've been sitting in the same place, staring at the wall, deciding how you should do things.
Yeah,
then you feel bad about yourself because you're like, oh, you're a piece of crap.
Yep.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
And
never get anything done.
Yeah, just lay down and die. Like, yeah. Hypothetic.
I mean, that's weird. It's a natural progression. Yeah. You know, from one to the other.
Yeah. You're basically upright in the chair for 6 hours and then you spiral onto the floor and there you stay.
It's time to
die. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, hence the, you know, just feeling like you can't do normal things. Like, yes, that's you can, but when it piles on, you just can't. It's just the most bizarre thing. Doesn't make sense, but it does for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find it
relatable. Very relatable.
Do you find it bizarre that other people can do it?
Like,
yes.
Do you just think they have less going on? I don't know. How do you like justify it?
Less going on in their heads, I think.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the noise in your head. Yeah. Because obviously, like, we're always talking about head miles. That's in our song. let's talk about the noise in your head. So you did get medicated. Let's talk about before and after with the medication and the noise in your head. So maybe describe the noise in your head and then what it's like after.
So it's like 1,000 people talking at once. Or maybe 100. Okay. You know. Yeah. Which is not so bad. You know.
Yeah. That's a lot of voices.
Yeah. But I mean, they're all my own.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, which is a plus.
Yeah.
True, it is.
Yeah. But it's... you know, you're doing one thing and you're like, oh, I've got to do that. And then going through reels in your mind of the day that's been, the things that are coming up, and then different scenarios. And just it's, I know that a lot of people have this, but amplify it by 10 or 100. And it's just constant chatter, constant noise, none of which make much sense or that you can hear clearly, but then some you do. And it's just... it's just busy. You constantly feel exhausted.
I was about to say, that must be so exhausting.
It is.
Speaking of exhausting, my son has described, Mummy, my head is so full of thoughts that it's so heavy that I have to rest it on walls sometimes because it's so full of thoughts. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
wow.
Buddy.
Yeah, 100%.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah.
That's so visceral.
Yeah. There it is.
Is that the word? Yeah.
Visceral. Yeah. Yep.
Visceral. Yep. I always say that. I always want to put a...
Visceral.
I want to put a C in it. Has it got a C in it?
It
and
does,
I'm just pronouncing it?
It's silent, I believe.
Ugh.
We're going to get letters about that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. The English language. Jesus. Maybe why is it so hard?
Maybe you're thinking of viscous.
That's hey! Yeah, there you go. Maybe that is what... I do think this that's what very,
maybe we're going back to, like, circling back to the spunk that you were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Sprog.
There we go.
Sounds like Sprog.
Yeah. I'm just tuning in to chime in that it sounds like Sprog.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, are you still talking?
That's all I heard. Blah, blah, blah. Sprog. Yeah. Jesus.
Love it. All right. So once you had the meds, how'd the voices in your head go?
Well, I changed meds. I was on one to begin with, and then I... gave me some gut issues, so I moved on to Ritalin. And obviously with all medications for ADHD, there's the little bangers and then there's the slow release. Yeah. So
little bangers give you short, sharp relief, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, they're like 5 milligrams. Yep.
Yep.
You need to
concentrate. This will be good for a couple of hours and it's a bit more of an intense burst, but it's shorter acting. So obviously the slow release will be over the course of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was like, okay, try Ritalin, the slow release. And it really was a game changer in a sense that I was like, oh my God, this works, you know, like I, at the end of the day, sitting down, you know, after work, having my beer and a fag and thinking about the things I need to do.
Yeah.
And instead of there being a million things in my head.
Yeah.
There was silence.
Wow.
And it was so odd.
I would find that so bizarre.
It was...
was it uncomfortable?
At first.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was also delightful.
Yeah.
But it was uncomfortable because I was like, what is this? Like, am I having a stroke? Like, can I smell burnt almonds? Or, you know, like, what's happening here?
And what's the burnt almond thing?
When you're having a stroke or a... when you're having a stroke, you smell burning. That's a, like a pre
system. What? Yeah, I think this is like blood clots bursting in your brain or something.
Yeah, wow. All right. Almonds for the win. Yeah. Yeah. At least I know now.
Look out for those burnt almonds. Or
yeah.
Look out.
Yeah.
That's so specific.
Or burnt toast, I've heard.
Yeah, burnt toast is another one. Yeah. Don't go down Sussex Street during the day. So I just thought there was something wrong. I'm like, oh, no, the medication. Like, I had time to stop and think, and I actually did have time to stop and think because I kind of went, oh, I need to do X, Y, Z. I will go and do X, Y, Z. And I'm like, why is there nothing else in there?
Oh, that's I'm like almost afraid of that feeling because actually meds do that. Like, my antidepressants do that, have that same effect as well. Mm-hmm. And it is... I can feel them kick in for that reason, that I just feel calmer and the anxiety has gone away.
Well,
like that constant buzzing in my head and my body has gone away. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what like everybody else must feel like every day.
Every day.
You're like, I don't have to feel like this. Yeah. I don't have to be like fucking all day.
But it's so foreign that you know, I just thought, surely something's wrong. And I went up to my housemates and I was like, hey.
So did you just have one thought at a time?
Like, this is happening. Is this how it is for you? And they're like, yeah, mate, that's normal. And I was like, this is really boring. But also,
it is the quiet is...
You can achieve things, though.
But that's it. Like, I was like, okay, I've got the things. I'll do the things in said order. And I'm like, achieving.
Like, I'll put the washing on. I'll get it out.
I won't have to wash it three times because I've forgotten about it day in, day out.
So often.
Oh, I just hate the smell of moldy clothes because it's a consistent thing in my life. Wash it again.
Have you ever had clothes go off?
What do you mean go off?
Like where you wash them or you like leave them overnight and sometimes they get, it's almost like I think it's a bacteria.
Yeah, it gets stuck in the clothes.
It gets stuck in the clothes and it only comes out if you sweat. So you'll be like, all right, I've washed these clothes. I've done it successfully.
Yep.
And then you'll like go to work, sweat. And I'll be like, fuck, can you smell that? Can you smell that? Yeah. And like basically you like almost go off.
Yeah, it's like activated by
by heat sweating. And, basically. Yeah. So I'd like do a waitressing shift and be stinking like fuck, I'm moldy washing.
Yeah.
But then like thinking that I'm, you know,
welcome, sir and madam.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, have some bacteria for tea.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. From my clothes that I've washed with vinegar, because apparently that helps. It doesn't help. People just throw it out.
Yeah.
The clothes over.
Spin your shirt.
I use Bioset now because the amount of times I have to rewash my clothes because I've left them in there and you know blah blah blah. Anyway, not important, but you know,
we're not a podcast that helps people. But I feel like we're all got a takeaway from that.
Yeah.
Your clothes can go off, throw them out. Bioset, for the win.
Indeed. But the other thing that medication did was help me with things like road rage.
Yeah.
Because I became more patient.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but certainly less tolerant because I think I sort of had this different gauge of time and I was like, okay, I can kind of almost acknowledge and work with time now. Yeah, and if you are taking up my time and I don't want you to, I'm just going to politely be like, oh, sorry, I have to go over here now.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, the older I get, the more I'm like that as well.
Yeah.
You know what? You can fuck off.
Yeah.
You are boring. See ya.
Yeah. Whereas before it'd be that anxiousness and the people pleasing and trying to be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no.
No.
But politely.
Yeah.
Instead
I don't have to do this.
Yeah. And being on time for work and all this stuff.
That would be a massive sense of achievement as well. I know that's, for most people listening, it'd be like, not an achievement. But are always late, because again, with the like, if I'm late, I'm like super anxious.
Yeah.
I'm never late because I leave like 2 hours. I leave getting lost time because I'm driven by the anxiety of being late.
There's additional time there for
100%
things.
Just being shit off.
Yeah. But I start work at 6:30.
Gross.
So it's disgusting. And they say that ADHDers have a different circadian rhythm as well. So that, well, I think because of the lack of dopamine and stuff,
trouble getting to sleep.
Yeah. So sleep issues. So your body's just like on a different clock, and yeah. obviously all your inside bits being like, oh hey, emergency, blah blah, blah. Like you just always so you're always lacking sleep or something going on. So you just
in a constant kind of flux.
Yeah. yeah, and so being awake in the dark times, not okay. No, it shouldn't be up at 5 a.m. That's offensive.
Very. Oh, I love the morning.
I hate the morning.
Oh, no. Because everybody's asleep. Ah. And I can just get like an hour to myself without anyone talking to me.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah. That's why I live alone. Well, I die with a flatmate now. Poor guy.
So, Rach, tell me more about going off meds and the decision around that.
Well, I'd sort of, I probably went off them a few months ago.
Yeah.
So maybe December sometime.
Yeah.
I think a few times I had forgotten to take them, and then I was like, but I think really behind it, I was like, I don't think I want to keep doing this anyway, what other people had spoken about is that kind of loss of your personality.
I have heard this.
Yeah. So, yes, calmer, less things in your head, but for me, obviously having a late diagnosis and moulding my life around motivation coming from anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and getting stuff done on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, I was used to that, but it was also intense, and that's how I guess my personality is as well.
Yeah.
And I just lost that, you know. There was too much calm. There was just, I mean, I was
part
still
of
there.
Was gone?
But like, yeah, definitely.
I've
Absolutely.
Heard a friend talk about it with their son who has ADHD, and he decided to go off the meds because I think a lot of people with ADHD are great conversationalists and really quick. And and he felt that was taken away from him by the meds, and so had made the decision not to continue because, it was the cost for him was greater than the benefit of the meds.
Indeed. And I think that I'd lived long enough without them.
Yeah.
So the decision to not be on them, I thought, well, I've accepted this diagnosis. I understand the way that I work now, and I can do it, you know. I just need to adapt in different ways, and in some ways I'm not going to. But you know what? Everyone can just put up with that because, you know, it's fine. They can just deal with it. And
absolutely.
You know, I'm not on time for work anymore, and I might have a bit more road rage again.
But in the end, you just reckon, I'm better off without it.
Yeah. It was also, too, because a lot of my motivation was different. So my care factor, I think, for the things that I truly cared about, which is obviously all the shiny things that give me dopamine, which is like motorbikes and
sprockets.
But also the people in my life. I really felt like I dropped the ball on a lot of my people.
When you're on the meds.
Because
why is that?
I don't know. Like the motivation was different. Like I had so much focus on just trying to do life and tasks.
Yeah.
I was like, no. And I did have a lot going on though. You know, but I don't know. I just felt like I wasn't communicating with my friends in the way that I used to, which is
the quick banter and the you couldn't quite achieve it.
Yeah. Like there was just a lot of different and a lot of loss and a lot of, I just see as much of people as I wanted to, and the want wasn't there as much. And I was just like, no, this is,
don't like it.
This is, there was a lot of different, and in the end, I was like, no, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to live life back with my personality. It'll be a bit more on the fly, you know, so.
It'd be so familiar as well, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and just to,
I can't imagine getting completely rid of that noise in my head. Like with the meds. Well, I don't think I'd ever up my, maybe I would, I don't know.
But I mean, you're so used to it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's just horrendous. But, you know, you are used to it, I guess. It's a part of you sometimes. But also having those wide, broad spectrum of emotions, you know. And yes, I can go from 0 to 100 apparently for no good reason, but it is for a good
allegedly.
Reason.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But I miss those emotions, yeah. You know? I just kind of wanted me back a bit.
Yeah.
Like I said, everyone else can just deal with the rest of the stuff because I'm doing fine, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Also, I think, would you say, like, even having the diagnosis is enough to at least make you understand where you're coming from?
Yes. Yeah. It was extremely helpful. It was the validation when I... And I knew it anyway. I knew I had it. But when I got the formal diagnosis and the psychiatrist said it to me, after we finished up, I cried and cried and cried.
Yeah.
But it was happy and sad. It was the validation, you know. Yeah. All my life,
I'm
knew.
Not crazy.
Yeah,
even though you are,
I am, but in a fun way.
No,
it all makes sense now.
Yeah. But so it was really helpful and validating, and now I understand why I do the things that I do. Yeah. And I'll just...
Does it remove the shame a bit?
Like a bit, yeah. A lot,
just a
actually.
Little. A lot, good.
Yeah, definitely, because there was always a bit of stigma, I think, around it. And I think as time has gone on, there's less stigma.
Yeah, great.
But also, this is me. And so deal with it.
We love you.
Exactly.
All right. Awesome. Okay. So thank you so much for coming in,
mate. Thank you, mate.
AKA Rock and Roll Rage.
Cheers.
I'm just going to end, guys. Bit of an announcement.
Dun, dun, dun.
Totally dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Georgia booked in and has already gone to see a psychologist.
Yay.
Guys, I did it. Even when I was on the phone making the appointment, I had the physical urge to run, but I pushed through.
You did. We're so proud of you.
And guys, guess what? I loved it. I actually really enjoyed it. I have one more announcement to make as well. Amanda, you and me, we got to second base, mate.
Oh, we did get to second base. Yeah. Georgia cried in front of me.
I cried in front of Amanda. It was mortifying. Afterwards, I sent about 1,000 like shit emojis and vomit emojis and like, but yeah.
I felt so privileged.
Yeah. Mate,
Second base. Yeah. Now I'm your intimate. Shit.
Yeah, that's what I said. You got to.
Yeah, I'm just going to shit myself and then we're good.
And then we're done. Yeah, then we're done. But.
I was super happy with it. You are breaking boundaries. That's what you're doing. It wasn't in public either.
Thank God.
Yeah.
It was dark too, so I could, you know, turn to the darkness and hide my tears.
It's been a week for you, though.
It's been a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's been a big couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I'm super proud of you for making the step to go and talk to someone about
it. Yes. I'll briefly explain, because I have bipolar and I've seen, obviously I do see a psychiatrist for meds, but I'd seen a psychologist in the past, one or two, and they just couldn't get past the bipolar. Like everything, they would bring it back to the bipolar. They made everything about the bipolar. I'm like, I'm actually a person, not just a disorder. Like, I've got other things. So I made it really clear with this psychologist. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, you went at it, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not here to waste my time and money to talk about bipolar, because I have that under control and it's not the biggest problem in my life at the moment. There's many others. And she was like, absolutely, that's fine. And she's been really good about it. And yeah, I'm actually kind of excited. Like, I'm really excited to see where it goes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Ending on a positive
note. Mental health. What are we talking about next week, Georgia?
Do we have
shame?
That's right.
Shame.
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 Those head moles.
Yeah.
Love it. Can't wait to talk about shame, actually.
I'm excited.
All right, so we will see you next week. Rach, we love you. Thank you, Rock and Roll Rach.
Thanks so much. You guys are amazing. Cheers.
Yay.
Thanks for listening. If you can believe it, we're on social media and plugging the shit out of it. Follow us at Going Loco Podcast on Instagram and Going Loco on Facebook. Want to join your peeps? Come and hang out in the Going Loco Lounge on Facebook groups. And look, you've probably never heard this before, but rate and review and chuck us 5 stars and we'll love you forever. Also, got a story about Going Loco? DM us on socials, shoot us an email, or leave us a speak pipe on the website.
You'll find all the links in the show notes, and we'll be going loco fortnightly. So tune in.